Thank you, Roger, so much for that gracious introduction. I certainly appreciate that. There we are. So this evening, and actually I want to thank each and every one of you for coming this evening. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I hate this part. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This evening we are going to take a look at Christians in the workplace and how we can remain lights in the workplace. And, you know, coincidentally, remaining a light in the workplace is not much different from remaining a light at home, in your family, in your marriage, with your children, with your friends. Wherever you find yourself, we are to be lights, aren't we? Sure. And the reason for that is because our lives are hidden within Christ. Is that not right? Sure. Sure it is. So let's begin. And let's go to our Lord in a quick word of prayer before we begin. Will you bow with your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, Almighty God of ours, we are so grateful to be God's your children, Father, and we are so grateful to be gathered here in a place free from persecution where we can study your word openly, Father, where we can enjoy the benefits that it has for us, Father, and where we can learn more about your will for us, Father, and where we can worship and praise your amazing Son, Father, your incredible, courageous, loving Son who sacrificed everything on our behalf for those that loved him not. At that time, Father, we are so grateful for his blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary for our sins, Father. And as we go through this study, Father, may we do so with hearts and minds that are completely focused 100% on the subject tonight, Father. And may we be intent upon your word, Father, and may our ears be completely open to what you have to say to us tonight. We love you so very much, Father. We ask that you forgive us of anything that we have yet to lay at your feet, Father. And we pray that you lead us through this study. We commit this prayer into your hands by the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So tonight, the title of our lesson tonight is Working for a Living. Working for a Living. And those of you who grew up in the 80s, you may remember a song that was very popular back in the day, Working for a Living by Huey Lewis and the News. Huey Lewis and the News. Now, you may not, or you may be a fan of Huey Lewis and the News, but that notwithstanding, you are definitely a fan of the Word of God, which is why you are here this evening. So, tonight's lesson, we explore the Son of God's opening statements to what most consider to be the greatest sermon ever shared in the history of mankind. And that is, of course, the Sermon on the Mount. Specifically, how do we as children of light work and provide for ourselves and our families and not be overcome by the darkness of the world in which we find ourselves? Because, folks, the fact of the matter is, on this journey through life, every day can be extremely difficult. Most folks discover that on this journey of life, it's extremely difficult to live without food, right? We need food, we need clothing, we need shelter, and thus we have to have employment, obviously, to provide those things. And although some in this world of high fashion certainly try to live without food, that's just not the fast that I choose. I can almost hear Jesus saying that. This is not the fast that I choose. I can hear Jesus say that. But we have to work. We have to work to provide for our families and to provide for ourselves. If we have been drawn to the Son by what the Father has revealed in nature, we have heard that Jesus the Nazarene is the Son of God. We believe that he is seated at God's right hand, because that's exactly where he is, and have confessed that belief. We've crucified our old self and its fleshly desires, and have been buried with Jesus in baptism, and washed clean, and then raised from that symbolic grave of baptism, a brand new creature of light. Then you have to work. If all those things are true, and you've obeyed all of those steps that it takes to become a Christian, to be accepted, to be brought into the body of Christ, then, gentlemen, specifically, we have to work. Christian men must obey God's commands, of course. Now, when Adam and Eve introduced sin into the world, a curse fell upon man specific to him. That was for all generations that are to come, and likewise, woman received a curse for all generations to come. That is, of course, specific to women. Man's curse was to work by the sweat of his brow. Lately, well, many men can do just about anything to avoid this curse, don't they? Sure. In this day and age, in the 21st century, men working has become somewhat of a commodity. But as Christian men, we must submit to the Father's will, and part of that submission is work, secular work. So you can read along with me, please. Genesis 3:17-19. Then to Adam, he said, that is God the Father, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it will grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. And by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, coincidentally, folks, this is the introduction of physical death to mankind. This was not, as we know, as faithful Bible students, part of God's plan. Destruction of flesh, the fading of the flower, the dying of the light, and the dying of what could have been paradise. You know, folks, one of the many reasons that people claim or that people cite as not joining the body of Christ, as not being allowed to be drawn by the Father to the Son, is that why does God allow so much tragedy in the world? Why didn't God just create a perfect place where we don't have to deal with death and car accidents and cancer and Alzheimer's and every other thing under the sun that plagues us as human beings? Well, you can tell them that the fact of the matter is that He did create a place that was void of all of those things. The problem was that it wasn't a problem, but because He loved us so much and wanted people who chose Him and not automatons, He gave us free will. He gave us free will. And because of that free will, we have the right to choose to sin. We have the right to choose to behave rather ugly. We have the right to choose to love God less than ourselves. And that's exactly what happened, as we all know. So sin has consequences, folks, which lead to eternal separation sometimes, if we don't repent of those things. And it leads to eternal separation from that which is love. And that's God, of course. God is love. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Clearly, this is something that was prevalent in the first century as well as today. But we see from the faithful Apostle Paul's address to Timothy that men have struggled with remaining submissive to the yoke of the curse of sin, which is work, of course, for men. But our sovereign God's grace is grace upon grace, right? It's grace upon grace. Filled, shaken up, overflowing. Overflowing. Because He has sent His Son to tell us exactly how to work as a child of God, as a kingdom citizen, as a being of light in this dark place. How do we work? How do we survive? How do we become a light? How do we not be tainted by all the gloom that surrounds us? Matthew 5:10-16. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you, when they persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, he says. Rejoice and be glad. Why? Why, Jesus? Why would I rejoice and be glad over persecution? Why would I rejoice over people saying evil things about me on behalf of you? Because it's on behalf of Him. It's not on behalf of you. They're not saying evil things because of things that you've done. They're not saying evil things because of your past. We must understand that. They're saying things, false things about you, because of your faith and your service to Jesus Christ. Darkness does not like light, folks. It exposes it. Light exposes deeds done in darkness. I'll continue. For your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And that really is the point. That is the point. That is really why we rejoice and be glad, because your reward in heaven is great. And that's why those caps are there for emphasis. Blessed are you. When they say things that are false. False. They're not true. They're false. And you can rest in that satisfaction, that conviction, that you're being obedient to the Son of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? What have we to fear? Blessed, in this sense, is better off. That's what Jesus is saying there. Better off. Congratulations is what Jesus Christ is saying there. Congratulations to you. Your reward is more than you can possibly fathom. Because you have so loved me as to endure. And you have loved me so as to die unto yourself. And you have hidden your life within me, as commanded by Paul in Colossians 3:3. For you have died with Christ, and your life is hidden within Christ. You are not your own. Jesus Christ owns you, right? Is that not true? Sure it is. It's absolutely true. When we're raised a brand new creature to walk in newness of life, we are not ourselves any longer. Just as Paul said, we are a bond slave to Jesus Christ. A person who chooses to be a slave, who chooses that yoke, and chooses to be a light unto the world. 5:14, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, well, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, folks. Salt is a preservative. My secular work is a butcher. I'm a meat cutter for Lucky's. And as a butcher, I can tell you that salt was used to keep rot away from meat. And you guys probably know this as outstanding Bible students. Salt was used as a preservative to keep rot away from meat for many, many centuries. Likewise, Christians are the preservative for sin in the world, folks. That's why Jesus uses these two common household elements. Every household in Palestine back in the day had salt and a lamp with which to chase away the gloom. Christians are the preservative for sin in the world. The kingdom of God, the church, the body of Christ, is a citadel, folks. It's a fortress against sin, but it's a refuge for sinners. It's a refuge for sinners. Jesus Christ said that I did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Right? That's absolutely right. So, in our efforts to remain light and to remain salty while we're working in the secular environment, we cannot allow everything that we come across. Employers who don't want us to engage in gospel discussions at work, who threaten us, which is illegal, by the way. You have every right. Under the Constitution of the United States of America, you have every right to talk to the people you work with about your faith. But in the midst of doing this, in the midst of bearing these threats, in the midst of possibly bearing insults, in the midst of possibly bearing the threat of demotion, it can get daunting. It can get extraordinarily daunting, folks. And our Lord understands that. So His advice is to stay salty. It's a refuge for sinners. The body of Christ. While we must minister in the workplace, we must be cautious, folks, and we must be cautious that while we are helping, sharing the gospel, and serving those around us that are in the world, that we do not become wearied by the stains of sin that we come in contact with every day. Every day. The stains of sin that can lead to a depression like the great prophet Elijah suffered. Do you recall that? A city on a hill cannot be hidden. What is he talking about? Christians stand out. That's what he's saying. Christian behavior stands out, folks. You will be recognized. It will be noticed. And that's why you have to have a defense for the joy and the hope that is found within you. Christians stand out. A city on a hill. Kind of like a vegan in a slaughterhouse. You're going to stand out. Your light is going to shine in the midst of all that gloom, folks. You won't help if you're doing things the way that Jesus commands us to do. If you're truly loving everybody as you love yourself, and if you're loving the Lord more than you love yourself, if you're sacrificing your think-sos, your opinions, if you're putting them in your pocket, right, and holding on to them in the interest of not offending somebody, then your light is shining. If you're not turning away anyone, regardless of the way they look, sound, possibly even behave, if you're accepting of everyone and willing to share the gospel of Christ with everyone and anyone, then it's going to be noticed. And praise God for that. You're doing the right thing. You are absolutely exactly where He wants you to be. So it's unavoidable. People will notice a humble person, folks. A person who considers others before themselves. One who exhibits self-control in the face of great provocation. One who is able to hold their tongue. One who is able to go to our Lord in a word of prayer before honking their horn in a traffic jam, as we're all tempted to do sometimes. Absolutely. Or one who exhibits great courage in the face of losing their job before they denounce their faith. It's an extreme scenario, of course, but you will be noticed is the point, folks. So be ready with a reason for the joy that is within you. And be also ready in season and out of season. Whether it's convenient for you to share the gospel or not. It's exactly what that means. Whether it's a good time for you or not. That's truly what it means to love the Lord more than we love ourselves. I love this. Someone who was much wiser than I shared this with me at the congregation in Napa, and I absolutely love it. Joy. Truly. Jesus, others, and then you. Or me. Us. Joy. Because true joy is found in service, isn't it not? True joy is found when we serve others. Isn't it amazing how difficult it is to be envious when we're serving someone? How difficult it is to be selfish when we're serving someone? Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but they put it on a lampstand, folks, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It gives light to all, not some, not a few, not the ones that we may choose to want to give light to. You know, as we're out in the world and we're sharing the gospel with many people, sometimes there's people that we can feel like Jonah, you know, when God asked him to go to Nineveh. Did Jonah want to go to Nineveh? No. That was the last thing that Jonah wanted to do. Why? Because he felt like the Ninevites didn't even deserve the grace of God. But that's not our call. That's not our call. Our duty is to simply be humble children of God and to let that light shine before men. So they glorify our heaven. They glorify our Father who is in heaven. In such a way, being humble, being loving, letting your mouth be seasoned with grace, always, always. And your Father will be glorified, not ourselves. Remember, it's not about us, right? It's about Him. It's about Elohim, right? That's right. Our Father who is in heaven. I appreciate your attention tonight. That's our lesson. That lesson is now yours. Being a Christian and working in today's environment, today's extraordinarily, ever increasingly, seemingly hostile environment, is not an easy task. Not at all. But we must keep up the good fight, folks. every single day. Every day that we wake up, we must clothe ourselves with Christ. Do you recall that's what Paul said to the church, to the Colossian church? Clothe yourselves with Christ. Put on love, the greatest of all. Put on love. And why? Why do we have to put these things on? Like an outfit, like a new suit? Because it's not natural. It's not necessarily natural. We have to kill ourselves. We have to die to ourselves every single day and live for Christ and make that determination to do that every single day. It doesn't happen by accident, folks, and it certainly doesn't happen by osmosis. So we have to intend to do these things, to love Him much more than we love ourselves. And that is extraordinarily and especially applicable in the workplace today. So, that's the lesson. I pray that as you go through your workday tomorrow, if our Lord is gracious enough to give us a tomorrow, for we don't know what tomorrow will bring. But I pray that you remain lights, and that you remain salty, and that you do not become wearied, and that you do not become corrupted. Because that's what happens with salt. Salt never really becomes tasteless, but what it does is becomes corrupted, and it loses its value. I love you all. I thank you for your attention. If anyone here has not become a child of God, please do not delay. There is no reason to delay one moment longer. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. What are you going to lose? Some guilt? Isn't that something that you want to get rid of anyhow? What else are you going to lose? Some worldly experiences? This life is transitory, folks. It's transitory. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths do not come in and eat, where thieves will not come in and steal, where time does not erode. Keep seeking those things in heaven. You have but a few things to do. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because that's exactly who He is, confess that. Before all these wonderful individuals gathered here, repent of the things that you've done. Why hold on to them any longer? Set those burdens down tonight. Repent of those things. And what that means is crucify those things that you've done with Him on the cross. Be buried with Him in baptism and be resurrected. A brand new creature, just as He was. To walk in newness of life, pure, holy, blameless, blameless. You know the devil is called the accuser of the brethren, right? You bet. Do you want to be blameless? It's within your grasp right now. Jesus is asking you to come forward at this point right now. If you need prayers of the congregation, we would love to serve you in any capacity that you have need. Please make this known as together we stand.